Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
In Psalms it says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." Let's praise our Lord.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I pray. Father, we just come before you this morning. We say thank you that we can come before you and just lay everything at your feet, that you are still on the throne. You are still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No matter what is happening in this world, no matter what is happening in here in this nation, and even in the midst of yesterday, we know that you are still King of Kings. And so we, Lord, we just take our hope and joy is in you. Our peace is in you, Father. That we will not be angry, but we will just have our hope and joy in you, Father. Because that is what it's all about. And that is why we are here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship.
Of mm-hmm.
that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows.
It is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Yours is a victory. Hallelujah. Praise the
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ
Boys and girls, come on up. I have the children's lesson today. Come on, come sit on the floor right down here. Right on the floor down here. Here, bud, on the floor. You aren't going to be able to see if you're not on the floor. Guess what? Today, I brought a family here to visit you all. Now, I'll tell you something. This family has been here before, but I don't think you have met them. So I'm going to introduce each member of this family to you, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about them, okay? This family is called the Tater family. First of all, we have Dictator. Here's Mr. Dictator. Dictator wants power and control. He wants the authority, and he wants to be in charge. It's all about him. He's not a team player. He wants it to be all about him. So here's Mr. Dictator. Say hi to Dick. Next we have Agitator. Agitator is a person who urges others to rebel or protest. He's always picking on somebody just to start a fight. Have you ever been in school and had that kid that kept picking on you and then the whole class got in trouble? No. Or have you ever sat in church and your brother is picking on you and then you get in trouble? Or have you ever picked on anybody? Well, this is Mr. Agitator. Say hi, Mr. Agitator.
Hi.
There he is. Next we have Hesitator. Hesitator is, it's hard for Hesitator to make decisions quickly. It takes her forever. And Hesitator knows that she should share her faith and tell other kids about Jesus. But she hesitates. She's afraid what others will think of her. Are you a hesitator?
No.
I know I've kind of hesitated at times.
I got hesitated.
Have you been hesitated three times? So, hi, hesitator. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Look at this one. Oh, is she beautiful or what? She is beautiful. Look at the crown she's wearing. Ooh. You think she's pretty? But guess what? Guess what her name is? It's Rotten Tater. Who'd ever guess? Who would ever think this gorgeous looking tater is Rotten Tater? Because you know what? She looks beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, she's rotten. She's rotten. We're not going to cut her open and check it out, but she is rotten. And you know what? Just like all of us, you can be beautiful on the outside and look wonderful, but God sees the inside of us. He knows what we're like. He knows if we're loving and kind and thoughtful and if we love Jesus. Well, you don't want to be a rotten tater, do you? There's Rotten Tater. Okay, our next one is, get him out of here. Oh, meet Spectator.
Spectator
is a person that goes to ball games and events and sits in the crowd and watches the games. Have you ever went to a ball game and sat in the bleachers? Well, that's a spectator, and that's a good thing. But guess what? In church, we're not supposed to just be spectators. You sit in the pew Sunday after Sunday, and you think you're going to just be a spectator while Kerwin preaches. No, you are supposed to get involved. You're supposed to use the gifts and the talents that God blessed you with, whether it's singing on the praise team, whether it's teaching at Bible school or Sunday school. You shouldn't just be a spectator like this guy. You want to get involved and not just watch. So there's Mr. Spectator. I know, he's losing his specs. Okay, our next one we have is Imitator. What does she look like? Who is she imitating? You are correct. She's imitating Rotten Tater. Oh my goodness. Well, she's just imitating Rotten Tater. You know what? It's very important to be who God made you to be, not be like somebody. And the thing is, she's choosing to be like someone that's not a good person. You should choose good friends, not rotten friends. So Miss Imitator is imitating someone that she shouldn't. She should be who God made her to be. Now, our very last tater is Sweet Tater. Here's Sweet Tater. Sweet, isn't she lovely? Gray hair and all. Sweet Tater is pleasant and kind. Sweet Tater is kind toward other people. She's loving and compassionate. Who wants to be a Sweet Tater?
I do.
Who likes, raise your hand if you like sweet potatoes.
I do.
Do you all really like sweet potatoes?
Yeah.
Well, I know a few people that don't like sweet potatoes. But anyway, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be loving and kind, like Sweet Tater. Okay, boys and girls, let's say a little prayer, and let's make for sure we're more like Sweet Tater and not like some of these other taters, okay? Bow your head and close your eyes. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Help us to learn to be kind and loving like Sweet Tater. And keep us safe and keep our hearts right before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, guess what? I thought, what can I give you guys today? Should I give you a potato? Who wants a potato?
I do.
Well, what do we get from potatoes? What can we get from a potato? Come on. Mashed potatoes? Of course, because your mommy loves mashed potatoes. What's something else you can get from potatoes? Think.
Chips.
Chips, potato chips, right. Well, I'm going to give each one of you some potatoes. Now, it should have been better to give you sweet potato chips, but they cost a lot of money, so... So you have to have just regular potato chips. You don't want any. And hey, be really kind to the janitor so she doesn't have to clean up any potato chips, okay?
Okay.
Hey, what?
Is the basement open?
Is the basement open?
Yeah.
Well, I think there could be a nursery. Say thank you. Are they made from... These potato chips were made... In love from Sweet Tater. There you go.
That was awesome. It's all good. Who does not like sweet potatoes? Come on. Sweet potatoes are the best. All right. Is that rain? You can turn me up just a smidgen. So, again, welcome. I'm Pastor Kerwin. It's great to have you guys here this morning. So Tim got notified on Thursday that his uncle passed away over in Indiana. And so he's like, hey, Kerwin, how about you speak on Sunday morning? Now, normally I have props and ladders and I use people up here. I still think I can take Jeremy in a fight. If you were here 2 weeks ago, right? Where are you? Yeah, that's right. But I thought I would keep it pretty simple this morning. Sorry if you were expecting props. So I got a joke, though, for you. So we're going to start with a joke. Is that all right with you guys? Maybe we should pray first, then I tell the joke. How many of you guys saw yourself in those potatoes? I definitely see a lot of you in those potatoes. Not me, though. So let's just pray, and then I'll tell you a joke. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you that we can come before you this morning and just worship you no matter what is happening in this world. Lord, you are so good to us, and we say thank you for being a loving and good Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. Billy Graham. You guys know Billy Graham? You know that name? If you don't, look it up. Was returning home after a speaking engagement. When his plane arrived at the airport, there was a long black limousine to transport him. Just as he was about to get in the back of the limo, he stopped. He whispered to the driver who was holding the door open for him. He says, you know, I'm 87 years old and I have never driven a limousine. Would you mind if I drove it for a while? The driver said, no problem, have at it. So Billy got into the driver's seat and they headed out on the interstate. Lurking behind an exit ramp a short distance from the airport sat a rookie state trooper operating his first speed trap. The long black limo went by him doing 70 in a 55. Billy, Billy, Billy. The trooper pulled out in pursuit and he easily caught the limo. He pulled up behind and got out of his North Carolina State Patrol car. The young trooper was walking up to the driver's door. When the window was rolled down, he was very surprised to see who was driving. Trying desperately to maintain his professional attitude, he immediately excused himself and walked back to his car and called his supervisor. He told the supervisor, I know we are supposed to enforce the law, but I also know that important people are given certain courtesies. I need to know what I should do because I have stopped a very important person. The supervisor asked, well, is it the governor? The young trooper said, no, he's more important than that. The supervisor said, oh, so it's the president. The young trooper said, no, he's even more important than that. The supervisor finally asked, well, then who is it? The young trooper said, I think it's Jesus because he's got Billy Graham chauffeuring for him. There you go. There's a funny thing for you. So this morning I want to talk about being a risk taker. Now, when I say risk taker, I'm still a little hot here, so bring my slider down, Dallas. Bring my slider down in the gain. All right, can you still hear me? All right, we're still working on this lapel mic. So talking about risk takers. What kind of a risk taker? I'm going to fly this through this pretty fast. So Celia is going to try to keep up. So what kind of a risk taker are you? Are you a real risk taker? How many of you like to play it safe? Come on. I know that, Mary, you're probably a risk taker. You like to do a lot of crazy things. So what kind of person are you? When people look at you, what do they see? Do they see a risk taker for Christ? Do they see a person who is not afraid to stand up for values and morals that follow the Ten Commandments? Or do they see someone who is afraid to speak out? What kind of reputation do do you have at work, at school, at a friend's house? What do you want to be known for when you pass away? I know this is a kind of a heavy thing, but what are you living for? But before I get into that, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So all good speakers, that you know, they start out with a joke, and then I want to give you the definition of risk, because the definition of risk, there's two different types. There's a noun and a verb. As a noun, the word risk means this: the possibility of harm or loss or danger. But as a verb, I love this, it means to expose yourself to chance of loss or danger. That's the definition we're going to look at this morning. So I really like that definition of expose. If you are a risk taker, you are exposing yourself to humiliation and defeat. Or, like David versus Goliath, you're going to pass the risk with flying colors. And people are going to flock to you and follow you wherever you go. There's one other risk taker. His name is Ray. He's a risk taker exposing himself to ridicule and laughter when he told people about his idea to sell cheap burgers. He also went on to become a billionaire. And people were waiting in line to get a piece of his franchise. Can you guess what franchise he was making? McDonald's. Everyone laughed at him when he went around looking for investors. Aren't they kicking themselves now? I love the word exposed, because that means you are laying it all out. You are putting your reputation, you're putting everything you've got, like Ray did, everything he had into a burger joint. Well, why would you do that? Why? So in today's world, there are several reasons that one would take a risk. So I thought I'd share, if you got your bulletin, there's a place on the back for notes. So that first reason that a person might take a risk is called personal glory. Personal glory. Okay, I'm going to be quoting a bunch of movies today. Any movie buffs in the crowd here? So there's a movie called Nacho Libre. Anyone ever heard of it? It's the dumbest but the funniest movie that there is. Nacho Libre, Jack Black. He wants to be the best wrestler in all of Mexico. So what does he do to become the best wrestler in Mexico? He climbs a cliff, and he found an eagle's nest, and he believed that if he could eat the yolk of an eagle's egg, that he could fly and be the best wrestler in all the land. Well, that didn't obviously work. He fell off the cliff and did not become the best wrestler. Most people to go after some of that, I don't want to say personal glory, but to go after becoming something really good at, you have to put the time in. Just as 2 weeks ago when I was talking with Jeremy, you got to put the time in if you want to be really good at your sport. But Jack Black believed that he could have personal glory. In Matthew 19 and 29 through 30, it says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Personal glory, not worth it. Why would you want personal glory from people that are just looking for the next best thing to follow? Think about actors who have died, either from age-related circumstances or drug overdoses. One of my favorite movies is Tommy Boy. Come on. With actor Chris Farley. Well, the guy spent so much time trying to gain personal glory here on earth, but how is he remembered? Not for all of his acting, not for all of his movies that he made. He is remembered by dying of a drug overdose. So much for obtaining all that personal glory. So number two, if you're taking notes, number two of why would someone be a risk taker? To be a hero. Now, in my eyes, a hero is not a bad thing. You want someone in your life that you can be inspired by. You want someone in your life that is going to, like, raise you up. A hero can be anyone that does something good, like getting a child off the train tracks or whatever. I also have other heroes in my life. If you are an EMT or a firefighter or a policeman or serving in the Army or a retired vet, would you please stand? Come on. Come on, give them a hand. These guys are my heroes. They are heroes. Why? Because they run to the danger and not away from the danger. Just like we saw in 9/11, those firefighters were running into danger, not knowing what they were doing. That's a hero in my eyes. That's a hero. The third reason that someone would take a risk to expose themselves to danger would be an adrenaline rush. We all like that adrenaline rush. So, most of you know I'm really into golf, and so I'm going to use a golf example. Steve Williams is a caddy for Tiger Woods. Oh my gosh. Steve Williams is a caddy for Tiger Woods. Well, Steve Williams was getting married down in Australia. And what did Steve want Tiger and him to do before the wedding? He wanted to bungee jump off a huge, tall bridge in Australia. And guess what? They did it. They're still alive. The rope didn't break. But it was all for that rush, that excitement. Well, my brother-in-law, Angela's brother, he jumped out of a plane. The only reason why I would leap out of a plane, has anyone skydived here? Anyone? Not yet. Not here. But the only reason why I would jump out of a plane is if that plane couldn't land. But if there's any remote chance of that plane landing safely, I'm staying in the plane. I'm not getting out. Why? But that adrenaline rush. I mean, think of the joy on their faces. That whole adrenaline rush of jumping out of a plane. Now, Tim, my brother-in-law, he's an IT guy and looks at a computer screen all day. And this was before he was married with two kids. So he did something crazy and risky before he got married and before the kids came along. Now he would not be allowed to skydive. I think the wife would put her foot down on that. It says from Philippians 4, 11 through 13, Paul writes this, "For I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Fourth thing, trying new things. Trying new things. You know, learning to be content, that I struggle with that because there's always a guitar out there that I want to try. If you know me, I like to change out guitars, much to my wife's dismay. And there's so many guitars out there that I have to try. So being in that content state, that's a struggle for me. But trying something new, I got to try those guitars. So when I go to a music store, I'm there for like 5 hours. Again, something that my wife does not like because I take my wallet with me. So finding contentment in all situations. But what about doing something completely out of the ordinary, like trying something new? I have a confession to make. I absolutely know how to ballroom dance. Do you guys believe that? See, if we had more time, I would have music played and I would bring my bride up and I would show you that I could ballroom dance. Like, good. But all because my wife makes me look good. She says I lead, but I think she's really leading. There's a movie called Shall We Dance, starring Richard Gere and J-Lo, talking about ballroom dancing. In this movie, Richard Gere is about not being happy with his job and his home life and sneaking off and doing something else instead of going home. If you watch the rest of the movie, he confesses to his wife about being ashamed that he wasn't happy in his home life. In the movie, you see how his risking taking dance lessons almost broke his marriage. Would you break your marriage up over ballroom dancing? Probably not. So what is worth exposing yourself to danger and harm? There's got to be a bigger reason for putting your life in harm's way. But what? You know, every day, we take risks. Every single day, we take a risk. Do you guys know that? So yesterday, or maybe it was Friday, I asked Dallas, dude, what is your favorite car? Without thinking, he sent me back a picture of this. Mom and Dad, this is your son's favorite car. That'd be an awesome college graduation gift. Just saying, Ashley. So, but every time that you get behind the wheel, you are taking a risk. You are trusting that the people that put that car together knew what they were doing. You are trusting that the people that built the brake line of that car knew what they were doing. I mean, your brakes could go out, your tire could blow. There's so many things that could happen when you're driving a car. You're taking a risk every time you get behind the wheel. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to scare you. But we take a risk every time. So let me wrap it up this morning with this last one. Living for Christ. That's the risk. Would you be willing to spend a night in jail if 5 people were to come to know the Lord as their personal Savior? One night in jail. It says this in Acts 4. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. You see, Peter and John spent their lives as risk takers, but for a worthy cause, not for adrenaline rush, not for personal. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Peter and John were willing to sacrifice themselves to see people come to know the Lord. The book of full of these stories, which brings it back home. What do we see the Mount Carmel Church of God doing? What is the reputation of our church here in Carroll County? Do we have a reputation of being judgmental? Do we have a reputation of not accepting everyone? What's the reputation? What do we at the church? Are we willing to take a risk for Jesus Christ? Are we willing? Are we willing to step out of our comfort zones and preach the gospel? What about being a missionary in foreign lands? What about being missionaries in foreign lands? So there's a college right down the road from us called Wheaton College. When I say down the road, I mean like a couple hours that way. All right? But that's down the road. Wheaton College, which is where Billy Graham graduated from, has produced several graduates that have gone on and done amazing things for the Lord. If you have a chance, anyone been to the campus and gone through the Billy Graham Library? It is amazing. You won't be disappointed if you get that chance. But there's one other person that graduated from Wheaton College. His name is Jim Elliott. Jim Elliott and these four other guys were called to be missionaries. The pilot is on the far left, Nate Saint. He's a pilot. They had the calling to witness to a fierce tribe called the Wadani, who lived in the Amazon. These missionaries were speared to death, leaving behind wives and children. They knew that the Wadani people were fierce and known for their killings, and yet God put it on their hearts to try to witness to them. There's a movie, you can write this down, it's called End of the Spear. And it's written, Nate Saint, the pilot's son, Steve, it came from his perspective of this movie. After the men were killed some years later, the family members went back and witnessed to the tribe that killed their husbands and fathers. And after living with them for many years, they immersed themselves in that. The whole Wadani people converted to Christianity. I'm going to have the worship team come up. You see, the thing is, are we willing to risk our lives so that others can know the salvation of Jesus Christ? You see, Jim Elliott and his friends, they had weapons. They had pistols. They could have shot the warriors that came after them. But they didn't, because they were trying to show the love of God. Jesus could have gotten himself off the cross, but he didn't. He could have called upon the angels to come down, take care of everything, but he didn't. He did that for us. So, as we close, how I started the message, are you willing to be a risk taker? How are people going to remember you? You see, this happened in 1956 when these people were killed on the mission field. 1956. And I still remember. I still remember their name. You know, one of my favorite actors, as we've been talking about movies, is Tom Hanks. He can do everything. Castaway and all tons of stuff, all right? One day, we won't even be talking about him. How many actors and actresses and famous people have come before us that we don't even talk about anymore? We don't talk about, you know, Cary Grant. We don't talk about Marilyn Monroe. We don't talk about, you know, singers like Frank Sinatra. We don't talk about him anymore. Oh, that's really good music. Listen to Frank. But someone could be so famous right now, and yet in 20 years, we're not even going to know their name. They'll just be a little print in the history book. But yet these people that died for Christ on the mission field, their legacy goes on. I want my legacy to go on. What will your legacy be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning and we say we want to live for you. We want people to remember how we served you, Father. Like Billy Graham, the best evangelist out there, when he was. So Lord, we just come before you and we say, help us live for you, to take a risk, to tell our coworkers about you, to tell our family members about you, to take a risk so that you would get the glory, that you would be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. make my wife lead worship. I didn't make her. She volunteered. Thank you. Thank you, guys. So, let me leave you with this. Go in peace and serve the Lord, because He is worthy to be served. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you guys next week. God bless you guys all.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.